Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Never Tell Me the Odds, the Star Wars RPG podcast. I'll be your host tonight, David Krennan, and we actually have a new player joining us, Mr. Tom Fons. You might know him from Crit Juice, where he plays the Dragonborn Gub. If not, buckle your seatbelts, because he's a great player. And that's about it, so let's get right into it. Here we go!
Excuse me, sir. I was given this.
Okay, looks at the Gamorrean looks, takes the chip and looks at it and goes, "Murr." Consults the list.
Gibbibindu. Not on the list. But I was told that this special ship would allow me access to the very important person area. And I, sir, am a very important person.
Can we get a deception check for that one, I feel like?
And the rest of your
How
party.
How is I am important?
Get him up there. Difficulty, just two purple for this one, I'm going to say as well. I
think you, all right. A straight two successes.
So you weigh in on him. The guy goes, "It's good." Moves out of the way to allow you to climb the flight of stairs, which you see extending up beyond you. It looks like a good 40 stairs, perhaps. It's like a beautiful, like, marble covered with, like, nice crimson red carpet, but just steep.
My companions will go ahead. I will join you shortly.
Just motion for you guys to go upstairs.
You guys, the remaining three of you, Dam, Malcolm, Lorik, climb the stairs. On the upper level, things are much quieter. You can kind of hear there's more of a silence down below. There's a quietness. A gorgeous chandelier hanging out just in the center of the room, just free hanging, possibly some sort of repulsars or something like that, holding it up just in the air over that open space, over the floor. And in fact, you can see it's a double chandelier. So it's a chandelier that's like maybe 20 feet across, hanging down like, you know, three tiers of beautiful crystals, all lit from within by soft glowing white. And then a chandelier of the exact same time also hanging upwards from it. So it's like a double-ended chandelier, just kind of free-hanging and tinkling slightly using some sort of gravity control, repulsar technology.
Space magic.
It is man spitting in the eye of God and saying, "I see your double rainbow."
No, double chandelier.
I raise you a double chandelier.
Yeah.
All right.
And so in this very glamorous environment, walking around on the plush carpets, you see lots of waitresses ready for with drinks. You also see a fair number of tough looking guards standing at the sides of like private rooms and things like that, and a few large tables with high stakes rollers sitting down there playing games of like Sabacc and things like that.
Rodians?
Yeah, let's look for that Rodian you saw. He's got to be up here.
Be another perception check?
Looking for him.
Yeah, perception check, two purple, and also take a setback die on that one black.
Oh, hey. I got one success, two threats. So he sees me coming, but we see each other.
And Dan?
Two successes and two threats.
Two advantages and four. This is failure, right?
Advantages.
That's failure. He loves his children.
Oh, man.
So
my optics blow out.
That might be true. Whatever repulsar energy is using to go on in the chandelier, it just is not corresponding with your technology. It's the equivalent of like if you had a pacemaker and you walked into a place with a microwave on.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so all of a sudden things start distorting for your vision. You've got a degauss or something like that. Like your
tracking.
Your electromagnetic fields are crazy up here.
Oh my God.
But you have three advantage as well.
Rationalize that, David.
You
Crane.
Don't see him at all right before your vision got crazy. You did see that there is actually another way down. Mm. On the opposite side, there's another, looks like turbo lift.
Right.
Like, I didn't see it. Kind of like a private turbo elevator.
While my optics are going crazy, I'm just going to say to the other, "There's a turbo elevator. You might want to check and see if it's in use and see what floor it ends up on."
Malcolm and Lorik, you both succeeded but generated threat, right? Dam calls that out to you. You guys see a Rodian who's kind of like searching around, sees the two of you as you see him. Your eyes lock. And then he immediately like gets up and starts moving, and you can see that silver suitcase, and he's doing like the quick walk, like the like,
like not, he's got a poop,
like the casual, I'm not running,
like, yeah. There's poop inside of me.
Uh-huh, yeah, if that helps you visualize it, absolutely.
It does.
So he starts to sweep. So this whole area kind of stretches all the way around. The turbo lift is on the exact opposite side of the stairs where you guys came in. So the Rodian starts moving. What do you guys do?
Is
so
he heading towards the elevator?
You could go either way. Yes, well, he's heading away from you.
Quick could sketch. We do, like, an eyeball to each other to, like, both go in different ways and...
Yeah, why don't you lead him towards me?
All right, so you cut around the chandelier, and I will slowly walk towards him, hopefully not make him walk too much faster so you have time to run around.
So am I still at the base of the stairs contemplating my fate? I think I just keep screaming at them to ply me with more champagne buckets until I muster up the courage to risk certain heart attack.
We'll get you up those stairs.
Chips Ahoy? Sorry, I'm letting my character seep into me now.
Yeah. Chips Ahoy! Yes, thank you.
What flavor is it? Because if I
White
like,
Fudge Chunky.
It tastes
That's
like
my
s'more.
Rap name.
Malcolm and Lorik, what do you do?
So I'm like not quickly going after him, so I'm not trying to make him go faster.
Walking casual, so you guys are splitting up and taking opposite sides.
Dam is just sensing the group and following the group.
Just let's have you make a coordination check in order to work normal here. Make it 3 purple.
Woo!
So 1 failure, 1 advantage. Well, then I'm trying to fix my optics.
How about this? You do start trying to reset your optics and everything flickers. Now you do see the Rodian, but then you look around and you realize everyone looks like the Rodian now. You somehow, the last image you have, like that image is now overriding everybody. So like you just see every single person you see, including your own guys up there, now look like the Rodian.
Oh no.
Which
Even
one he
my
was.
Teammates look like Rodians?
Mm-hmm.
Our size, but Rodian?
Right, yeah. So they all look like whatever size they would be, and whatever they're carrying, they would still be carrying it.
Okay. I mean, based off of
so I'm
Wookiee
a naked,
size. Right.
Naked Rodian
right.
is what I am.
I'm gonna follow the naked, large Rodian.
And hope that that's a Wookiee.
We're going to find out.
So Malcolm and Lorik, you start flanking him. That moves you guys about halfway around. The Rodian's still slightly ahead of you. He's cutting towards the turbo lift. Down below, Gippy. What exactly are you trying to charm and who you're trying to charm?
All right, so after my third bucket of champagne, I look at the Gamorrean. It was a Gamorrean, correct? That was like the
two
bouncer.
Gamorreans, bouncers on the stairs here.
Gentlemen, there comes a time in every great man's life where he must understand his own limitations. My limitations are few. But before you see one of them, which is a flight of stairs. Would you both be so kind as to aid me in this important and auspicious journey up this flight of stairs? I believe if each of you take a massive and grand ham hock in your arms, we may arrive on the second floor, at which we will be duly rewarded.
The rewarded is nice bit. So you're trying to persuade two usually onerous Gamorreans. I'm going to give you only 3 purple and 1 setback die. Oh, Jesus.
You're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 successes, but 2 threat.
I love it. And they get under you, abandon their post, and start heaving your bulk up the stairs. They're sweating pretty hard by the halfway point. But
what an amazing visual from the bottom of the stairs. The plight of the flight. Like, this is amazing.
they're really starting to struggle as they reach, like, the three-quarter way. They're like, going deep down on those bends and getting you back up step after step. And then the threat activates, which is...
Does the stair start creaking or something?
Yeah, I think they get you to the top of the stairs. They step on the very top step, and then they're just slightly off balance as they get there. And they start to lean backwards with you still on their shoulders going...
Star Wars cinematic action.
Mm-hmm.
Pulse pounding.
The music has stopped. Like, everybody's watching this. Yeah. Like, these guys could die doing this. This is huge.
The music has definitely stopped at this point as you...
It's like John Williams' score has kicked in, though. It's like... Da, 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 da,
yeah.
Da.
I think the Duel of the Fates song is going on. So as Gippy is ascending the stairs about the three-quarter point, I think Lorik and Malcolm, you guys get to go again. So this is happening in the background of whatever you guys
you
are
think
planning.
It's slow motion, but it's actual time. Like, it's like
the Rodian is kind of darting quickly towards the turbo lift. He kind of drops all pretense.
How crowd? It's like tables up here and everything. How
But it's not too crowded because it's kind of the fancy bit. So the tables are 10 or 15 feet apart from each other, kind of large, black, very fancy looking with like computer interfaces worked into them. And, you know, four or five people at a table and then some of the waitresses and things like that. So you can kind of, if you were going to run, you could weave in and out people or whatever. You will attract a lot of attention.
Are there guards at the lift, or is the lift open? And is are the
or you
doors...
don't see any guards at the lift. There are some on the level.
Right. And are the doors open?
Doors are closed.
Great.
If I had something, could I throw it towards him, like in front of him?
Yeah, you could.
I would like to throw...
Depends on how big it is.
Poker chips or whatever, kind of like throw them up so that everyone, like, you know, crowds the floor to pick them up and keeps them from running.
Good call.
Oh, a little Sharon Stone moving casino.
What chips do you have?
Oh, no, like, we're walking by tables. I would literally...
So you're going to grab someone's
like,
chips
the
and then hurl
the,
them.
Like, you know, the dealer has, like, the giant tray. I could accidentally, like, trip and throw the tray.
Okay. So if you want to do this with an accidental tripping thing, I think you'll end up prone at the end of this. If you want to make it look real where you fall.
Yes.
Athletics sounds good.
How many poibles?
Three purples.
And you know what? I'm using the force. This is pretty cool.
Gippy in the background, slowly ascending another step.
Two successes.
Nice.
So all these chips go flying right in front of him.
That sounds good.
A giant Wookiee goes rrrr.
A giant Wookiee, that's amazing.
Just like the hair flowing as I fall down.
Hit the edge of a table, the whole thing goes, you like hurl the thing in the air as you like pick it up from the table, hit the floor. Yeah, it's sufficiently deceptive. People go, what is going? So there's no advantage or threat on that?
None whatsoever. Everything cancels.
And I'm sorry, I see the staircase, and I just see Gippy's head, like, everyone upstairs is looking at the stairs. You see his head bobbing, like, whoa, he's getting taller. Like, what the fuck?
Like, it takes a second, and the chips go everywhere, and then people kind of, like, jump up and start getting in the way, and you kind of lose sight of the Rodian, but he's definitely not getting to the turbo lift right now. Malcolm.
So I want to put myself at the turbo lift. If he was going to get there before me, I wanted to kick a chair out from under somebody and slide it in front of him while his focus is over here. But if I don't need to do that, if I can just get to the between him and the lift, could we arrive at the same time?
Yeah, that's possible.
So I could move and then have an action against him at the lift?
You could do that if you wanted to. That's too strained to do that.
Okay, I'll do that. And I want to get up to him like, hey, buddy. And I'm going to put my arm around him and slam his head into the... the lift doors and just make it look like, hey, and
okay, take so you'll take two strain as that happens.
Okay
so you rush towards the turbo lift. You're like thundering Ron Perlman in your way through the room, ignoring the chips on the floor. You kind of like see the Rodian popping up through this crowd of people. He's pushing his way through, heading towards the turbo lift. You get to the turbo lift. The Rodian's just about at the turbo lift. Damn, you see a horde of Rodians on the ground, going for chips.
And the biggest Rodian you've ever seen in your life coming up the stairs towards you.
Yeah, a hugely obese
Holy
Rodian.
Shit.
Yeah, hugely obese Rodian being carried by two thick, muscular Rodians. up the. And so the way I think it kind of looks is like you see like the people for a second, and then like your like visuals kind of flicker.
Yeah.
And then Rodians are like kind of glitching out.
Yeah. I was still following, in my mind, the gigantic naked Rodian.
You were. He is now, you're probably over around here, about halfway to the turbo lift. The giant naked Rodian has collapsed on the ground, so she's now, he's now prone, and those chips that went, you know, sparkling through the air in a big arc.
I'm going to continue the course. I'm going to still go towards what I think, because, if I get lost, then I'm real lost.
You make it up the stairs, Gippy. There's a moment of, like, teetering, or they're on the steps. Like, you're going to just tumble back down, and I'll break your neck, and then come back forward. And the Gamorreans drop you to the ground, and you kind of splay out.
And I kind of slowly get to my feet.
They both clutch their chests and are breathing very heavily.
And I look around, and I go, I'm looking for a Rodian.
As you say that, and you're, I think at this point you're also on the ground because they kind of dumped you.
Yes.
A pair of stylishly dressed legs step into view, trim black trousers, and goes, oh my, I'm looking for a Rodian as well.
And who are you?
Well, the voice is clearly the voice of George Takei.
Oh my god, I was going to say that! Oh my, yes, Captain. Oh, yes.
Who's that?
Sulu from Star Trek.
Nothing?
Oh, nothing. My. It means expensive in Japanese.
Oh, I know that guy.
He's
been in a bunch of like little cameos and things forever.
Yeah, yeah. He does a lot of
voice
work now.
You don't know Star Trek. I mean, I don't know Star Trek that well, but I don't know George.
But I know who this guy is. Always smiling, Asian guy.
Yeah.
Okay. At that point, we cut back to you. And at this point, I need to use my GM intrusion because as you're kind of extending your hand out to grab this Rodian as he comes scurrying towards you with his case, when suddenly, stepping out of this crowd of people, a tall, lithe figure dressed all in kind of a form-fitting black leather jumpsuit kind of steps out and clotheslines the Rodian. The Rodian goes down hard.
Before I get to slam him into
like
this?
A second is just before you're like they're just, you know, feet away from you. You're like you were just tensing up to get him. Right before you can get him, this guy kind of knocks him down and then is just standing there. And you can hear another little voice of someone you can't see. It must be someone quite short from the crowd going,
We got our little bounty, didn't we?
And you can see that it's a little weird alien, about 2.5 feet tall.
Doopie! I'm sorry, no.
Dressed all in brown robes, pulled up over their head, and you can just see two glowing eyes.
Nice.
You can set Jawa there. And he's got a variety of items hanging from his, like, little rope belt. Yeah, so this little Jawa has the guy's on the ground. He's looking up and talking to the tall guy standing next to him. It's like 6.5 feet tall. Maybe something like that. He's about your height, right? You're a super tall guy? Or taller than you?
He's 6.5 feet tall?
Yeah. No, not the Jawa. This guy who clotheslined him.
Yeah, I saw myself as like 6'5", 6'6".
How tall is Ron Perlman?
I'll look it up right now.
Okay, he's about your height.
Okay.
He's not wide like you. It's a much more of a slender figure, but you can't really make out much other than that. Okay. It's all black leather. Imagine like, you know, the TIE fighter pilots?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're all wearing black. He looks very similar to that, except the suit's like, you know, a bit more form-fitting and it's red piping.
Is he wearing a helmet?
Yes, he's wearing a helmet, and it even looks kind of like the Stormtrooper helmets. It's got like two hoses that come
duck
in.
Duck face.
And it's got a more of a muzzle-type build on it. It looks like it's been designed for kind of a non-human head, but it's got like black, glassy eye things, and there's kind of some red tracing on that as well. Yeah, and you can see he just kind of has kind of a warrior type vibe to him. This guy's about your height, but lithe. And the Jawa on the ground looks up at him, so he's like almost three times the height of this Jawa. Looks up at him and goes,
good job, gun! We got our bounty!
And he starts like, the Rodian's like, and its little snout is pressed against the ground. It's going,
hey, buddy, he's yours. That's mine.
You said to the Jawa?
Yeah.
Like, eyes up and down.
Hands up! He's ours!
And starts, like, taking out shackles to, like, put on, like, the guy's arms. You do still have an action, basically, since I made you spend two strain for that.
Great. So, where's the case right now, right beside this thing?
Right beside him, yeah. He, like, fell on these, like, cases right there.
You guys take it easy, and I'm gonna grab the case.
Okay. As you grab for it, the other big guy reaches and grabs your hand as it goes down. He's got, like, a hard grip on it. You just hear like a sound from inside the mask, like a bubbling of water or something like that. And the Jawa goes,
hands off or you're going to regret it.
Okay, that brings us back to Gippy, I think.
Gippy looks up at this stranger that he's encountered with the melodious voice. And he slowly gets to his feet while I kind of just clawing at the person in front of him to like get him back to his feet. And just kind of like leans over the guy.
Oh, how displeasurable.
And just like, it's just like,
yeah, thank you. Thank you for your assistance.
He like disdainfully like lifts one of your massive meaty arms off of his shoulder and lets it fall and brushes off your like, I assume you have some sort of small amount of slime that covers your skin at all times.
Yes, it's just a little bit, but it smells of the moist. Sea.
Oh, also, true. Like champagne-y ice. Smells of the sea. Fingers
it's
as well.
Pleasant. It's like a
nice. They're sticky dress. From the dried champagne.
Yeah.
So you say you're also. Is it perhaps that Rodian?
Can I point across the room? Can I see the Rodian?
Can you see the Rodian? What is your
vision? There's a chandelier in the way.
There is a chandelier in the way from where you
We're
are.
We're just pointing it. Damn.
Yeah. Yes.
why don't you come with me? I would like to invite you to join us at the High Roller table. Oh, my.
Oh, well, I would assume so if you have any sense.
Okay, so Lorik, you're down. Damn, you're right by her.
Noticing the kerfuffle and the yelling of hands off and stuff from the Jawa, I would like to pick the Jawa up from behind and dangle him. I assume this is like a cutaway floor and that there's...
That's right. There's a, you guys are up on the second floor.
Underneath it.
It's two purple, I think, against your... actually, brawl, I think, yeah.
As...
Your sensors probably start kicking back it at
Oh, they do? Okay, great. Well, even if they weren't, as a form... Because I feel like this will make some commotion. As a form of distraction... Are there any, like, slot machines? Like, any mechanical?
Yeah. There's one of those gambling tables where, you know, like, the holographic chess gambling tables.
Great. He's going to use his computer skills to make a slot machine jackpot. Like, it's just going to, like, if it, I assume it shoots out credits or whatever.
Yeah, credits.
It's just, he's gonna try to rig it so that it just jackpots so that people aren't paying attention to the Jawa being held over the railing.
Okay, that sounds great. Three purple. You're trying to do it really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So two setback dice to that, let's say.
Wow.
I got a triumph on lifting him. So can I just like completely successfully like grab him by the ankle and hold him upside down? Not taking him over to the edge, but like...
Okay, and what do you roll?
I rolled a triumph, a success, and an advantage.
Okay, so no problem. Yeah, so you snag the Jawa by the ankle and go... Nah! And then he's just all of a sudden he's twice his body height in the air in your hands. Right there going, trying to flail around. Okay, and then, so damn, you're going to try and rig the table?
Yes, and can I use a light side point to switch out?
Okay, we'll switch over to a dark side point, switch that out, and roll it up.
Great. Two failures.
Quite a bit of failure.
It actually takes the spike. And some of your money.
Okay.
You rolled three yellow proficiency dice, mm-hmm. and you got two advantage and one success off the military.
I'm having a day, Dave, okay?
Your vision kicks back in. You're like, just, you know, run a cord into it. And
you look at the gambling machine, and you fall in love.
Or it takes the last year of your life, and you have no idea why you're here. You have less memory
than before.
What the fuck?
Just plug in, and then it's just like... Your internal bank account monitoring software that I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Just goes like, down about 50 credits.
Great.
So I don't know. They were ready for that at the casino. You've got the jaw up by one leg. Malcolm, what would you be doing?
So he had his hand on my wrist.
Yeah, he's holding it hard. Like, just stopping you cold. We can do an opposed strength check or an opposed brawn check if you want to try and wrench away from him.
I'm actually going to... I apologize. This is not my place to have reached for that. And as I'm bringing my hand up in front of both our faces, I'm going to take the truncheon and try to ram it right into his face.
Oh, solid. Okay, so make a brawl check against him.
I imagine he's got like an aquarium helmet and we should rip it off so he drowns.
Yep. Drown in the fresh air, bitch.
Yeah, you should
have put his hand on me. Malcolm's very visual, so he pictured slamming his head into the lift doors. He's really excited about that, and that didn't happen. And then he grabbed my wrist.
Only one purple, so roll that against your melee. Two yellow, two green, and against one purple?
Yeah.
Okay, roll it up. It's going to be a world of pain for this guy.
Ooh, that is a success and two advantage.
Okay, so you smacked the guy pretty hard. You said right into his helmet?
Yeah.
Okay, so you smack him right in the helmet for 8 damage. Pretty solidly constructed helmet. You just like whack, and you hear like the resounding sound of plasteel being smacked or whatever the helmets are made out of. 5 of that is soaked, but he still takes a reasonable amount of damage from it. Donk! Rattles his head, and you got advantage on it as well. Breaks his grip. He has to step back a couple steps. Guy goes, shakes his head a little bit, turns towards you, and then flexes his wrists. With a snicked two like long
That's Wolverine, careful
blades slide out from like part of his armor, not biologically, but just like stink, 2.5-ish foot long
like Hellboy, blades.
Yeah, like Cronin, yeah.
Two blades slide out, and then the guy like falls back into like a combat stance, and at that point, Gippy shows up with George Takei, flanked on both sides by a handful of Gamorrean guards. Gentlemen, what is all of this? Kerfuffle.
Gross.
And the little Jawa looks up and goes, nyah!
It's my...
I guess he would be looking down because he's upside down.
Oh, yeah, good point. His jowl robes all flying around him.
Yes, gentlemen, indeed. This seems to be quite an altercation taking place here. I say that it's only fair that we allow Malcolm to murder this weirdo with a helmet recompense for your inconveniencing us.
I have quite the dislike of blood in my casino. Please, could someone explain to me why this Rodian is so desirable?
Well, look at him. He's beautiful.
How does George the Kyla?
Captain.
Ew, I hate this guy.
Oh my. What an interesting circumstance. You desire this Rodian?
Well, I mean, yes, but that's hardly material to what's going on at the moment.
Oh, so you're all right then if I allow the Jawa to have the Rodian?
Oh, here in public? What kind of establishment is this?
I like the way you think. But no, I mean, I could hand them over to you. And the Jawa goes, yeah, come on, East Ark, bounty.
Oh, it's a bounty. Now it's all becoming crystal clear to me. No, this Rodian is supposedly in possession of something of great value to us.
Oh, great value.
Great value to us in particular. Sentimental value. Stained with the blood of dead colleagues.
Murder. How delightful.
Tell me, are you sympathetic with the Empire and its genocide against the older Aryan people?
And you, Jawa, are interested in this man as well? Well, very good. I think we have a game on our hands. Tell me, are you familiar with the game of Sabak?
Intimately.
Good. The way I see it, this Rodian is my property, seeing as he's been captured on my casino. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Detour. They call me Lucky Detour. I propose a simple game of Sabak. You, me, and this other party, whoever wins the Rodian. The Rodian's going, his little like snout bouncing around. Who speaks Rodian?
My biggest one is Xenology.
You were built by a Rodian too, right, Dan?
Yes.
So you probably. So the Rodian is swearing in every little Rodian word that he knows. And is
trying to serve you, master, but we didn't program him with a knowledge of your language.
Again, what? This thing?
So you're no? You're displeased with the amount of sugar in your coffee.
Can't tell. No, where are we? Speak Rodian. Yeah, you see the little Rodian is swearing in every language, or in every like every terrible Rodian word going, voiced by...
No, don't do it to yourself, David.
Don't do it to yourself. Yeah.
What are you? What's your problem?
Well, what? Go ahead, voice the Rodian, would you please, Andrew?
What? You're all a bunch of fools. Not
this is what you hear.
Yeah.
If you're all a bunch of bloody women, I give you a smack.
I don't know. Whatever horrible, awful thing Sean Connery
would
say.
He's being quite misogynist to us all.
Oh,
even the men.
I dislike that immensely. I'll enjoy selling him to the Empire for a bounty. Very good. A game of Sabacc will decide it all. So Sabacc, as you guys of course know, is like the Star Wars universe equivalent of poker. It's played with special cards. The goal of the game is to try and get positive 23 or negative 23. More generally, what we're going to do here is decide it with a couple rolls.
Yeah!
So Sabacc is the game that Han Solo notably won the Millennium Falcon in a game of Sabacc, where he managed to get pure Sabacc, which is like the royal flesh hand. So the way it's played in this game is... and as Detua leads everyone over to one of the gambling tables, my private gambling table. It's right there. He sits down, looking impeccably. He adjusts his, like, blue silk tie on his, like, yellow blazer as he sits down. Oh, by the way, it's modern-day George Takei. So he's got, like, gray hair, and he looks a bit older.
He's and he's like... been on Howard Stern talking about...
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
The Jawa goes, let me go. And he, like, gets, like, a boost up to, like, the seat, and he goes, gun.
Just stay there.
What's he doing? Yeah, what's Gun doing?
Gun's just going... He's just standing, like, just behind his shoulder. He's not going to play the game. He's just standing there, like, silently watching.
I'm going to punch you. I'm going to punch you till you die. No matter the outcome of the game.
Talking to me as the DM, you're talking to.
No. Malcolm is talking to Gunn. Okay.
Things got tense when Gary threatened.
Just for the record,
the GM.
David, I'm going to punch you till you die. I'm so sorry that we're in an environment where you had to ask if that was in game or out of game. I'm sorry that that's what I bring to the table.
Some violence.
No, but that's what he says to Gunn. Like, he hasn't.
Okay.
Gunn put his hands on him. He's like, okay. I'm going to punch. Matter the outcome of the game, I hate chance. I'm going to punch you till you die.
Gunn looks right back at you, but it's just, you know, those blank, glassy eyes on the mask. He's just, but he's looking directly back at you and just.
Great. So I'm staring at him, that eye contact thing. I'm just staring at him the whole game.
So do we need the Jawa to play? Can I just throw him off the.
Jawa, the.
Stay away from me. Wookie.
So they start dealing the cards out, and the Jawa gets his and fans his out. So the basic way to play Sabacc, very simple, we'll need to start with your die pool, which is based on your cool skill. So
I'm out.
I mean, I feel cool.
Gippy, is that you? Gippy's got
really. I'm extremely cool.
All right. Now, that's if you're playing it like poker style, you're just being cool, you're not bluffing. It is possible to use deception. Or if you wanted to outright cheat. So these cards, they're actually mechanical. They're computerized. And the values of the cards sometimes flip, even while they're in your hand. You can use a computer's check to basically surreptitiously hack the cards as you play.
I will be playing this game.
Oh, a droid. How rare. So we have the droid, the overweight Kyle Mari. Oh my. I do hold
that,
me.
That was rude.
I don't insult the color coordination of your suit offhandedly. Good, sir.
He looks at you icy cold hate for a second and then. But more George Takei sounding. There you go. You tickle me just right, folks.
Indubitably.
Oh my. They don't call me 10-foot Daytona for nothing. Nope, I'll cut that joke out.
His nickname is Lucky Daytona. You could have said, they don't call me getting Lucky Daytona for no reason.
Yeah,
I
too late.
I assume we're going to cut all this out, but can we all say we love George Takei?
We do love him.
And I'm surprised.
That was obnoxious.
You don't know George Takei.
Yeah, you don't even know him. You know my impersonation of him, which is terrible. He's a really nice guy.
We love George Takei.
I mean, he might be. We love George Takei.
Wookie. Will you be joining us as well?
I like playing cards. I'm not very good.
No, you don't have to play cards very well. He says, trying to stifle a laugh. Very well. The stakes shall be a small pot, 1,000 credits.
Oh, that is Bantha Poodoo. Come.
Would you like to do higher than that?
Surely Lucky
Daytona.
Lucky Daytona would like to start off at a more pricey pot.
I laugh as
he's so in character. He's eating pretzels in character as he speaks.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. A waitress has brought you a tray of like crunchy pretzels in game.
I'm distracted. Man, excellent ruse. I'll fall for it just this one.
How much would you like to wager if 1,000 is too small for you?
Well, I think any true player would start at easily 5 times that amount.
Oh, I like this. 5,000 credits. Very well. And he slides a stack of chips into the center of the table. Okay, so 5,000. You have 5,000 credits to go in on, of course.
Did I get my advance from the stairs? So I have 10,000.
You do have 10,000. And damn.
You have like 9,000.
I definitely don't have those credits.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's a lot of credits. So you have effectively forced Dam out of the game.
That's fine. That's fine.
Oh, no, it's absolutely fine. So we can make a loan in your case.
Don't worry. I'll front you an additional 5,000.
So you're all in this game now.
Great.
Technically.
Yes. Okay. Jawa goes.
In this one hand.
I know. Yeah, it's one hand.
Jawa reaches like both hands into his cloaks and then pulls out a stack of chips and goes,
5,000,
and like slides it in towards the center there. Looking day two, goes, claps, and like the chips are brought out for him. Very well. Let the game of Sabacc begin with the traditional Sabacc chant. Hula, boo-do-do, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, boo-doo-la.
Boo-boo, Sabacc, Sabacc, Sabacc. Sabek, Sabek.
Hulu, what he said.
Flawless. Excellent.
Flawless!
Flawless victory.
I see these are. I see I played with expert players. Very well. Let us make our rolls.
Flawless.
Okay.
Right.
So the first roll is going to be against a solid 3 purple. So if you make a success on your roll, you win back your share that you put in. If you, for each additional success, you win 1 other player's share at the table.
Very well. I'm going to spend a light side point.
Okay.
I'm burning through these.
Yeah.
Upgrade my die. It's 3 purple, right? It's 3 green, 1 yellow. I rolled 1 success and 1 advantage.
And now in Sabak, to represent the changing fates, you will also roll a fate die. If a light side point comes up, you can turn 1 success and threat into an advantage and a... one failure and threat into a success and an advantage. Dark side does the opposite.
Okay, so that means I have 2 successes and 2 advantage.
I'm going to use a light side point as well.
Okay, and you're attempting to...
I'm doing computers checks, so I'm cheating.
The act of cheating... Yes. Automatically, anytime you're cheating, automatically upgrades one of your purples to a red. And if the result of despair comes up, your cheating is exposed, and you're caught basically red-handed, like cheating.
Right.
So you're dealt your cards, and you start like surreptitiously like altering their frequency slightly. However, you would do that, tapping the side of the card.
Nothing.
Okay, roll it up.
It's all in the hips.
No despair.
Whoa!
No
despair.
Wow.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Tune in again next week for the next episode. Until then, may the Force be with you.